And scene.
And scene.
Are we all prepared? The announcement is, are we prepared to watch The Preacher tonight? Season 2 starts.
Yeah. Season 1 was okay.
Season 1 was like, in regards to the comics, it was like a prequel. Because it didn't, like, Season 2 is where the comics basically start.
Okay. Welcome to Crippled System, episode 203.
I thought we were in the 500s.
No. No, we're not.
My name's Brian.
My name's Nathan.
My name's Andy.
Seven times 29.
You're trying to figure out if it was a prime.
I learned something about myself.
You don't like prime numbers?
No. I learned that it's 2 a.m. when you're having a really terrible stomach ache. You will buy whatever the internet tells you to buy from Hy-Vee to help you. It's like, buy this apple vinegar, whatever, whatever. I'm like, sure thing. I was at Hy-Vee at night just buying all these like ridiculous home remedy things. Like, drink this vinegar with this, with that. I'm like, sure thing. Like, pouring all this shit down my throat trying to like
And none of it worked?
No, the apple vinegar... Apple cider vinegar actually was amazing.
Well, apple cider vinegar is just delicious in general.
I didn't realize apple cider. Well, apple cider was I thought the vinegar would have made it really bad, but it didn't. Nope. That was the part I was concerned about.
I'm a big fan of balsamic vinegar too.
It's actually in the energy drink section of Hy-Vee. I didn't realize that apple cider vinegar was actually like a standard sort of healthy energy thing.
Crazy.
Yeah, I learned a thing that I never would have known if not my stomach was killing me. I also learned that if I'm downstairs vomiting for 45 minutes straight, my roommate can hear it upstairs.
Yeah. Jordan told us all about it on when we were watching the UFC.
He's like, man, Brian was sick. Here's a cool story.
Yeah. At least he didn't pass out in it.
Your neighbors have a little fence around a little tree, but the little tree isn't in the middle of the little fence square.
Yeah. Go fix it.
I'll
record it.
Super tempted to go fix it. What the fuck?
I'll record it, and like, then we could broadcast it over the podcast.
And then Jordan was like trying to tell me, it was probably this that made you sick. Like I ate a bunch of bad things on Friday, so like because when you get that sick, you're always backtracing everything you ate, trying to find out what combination did that to you so you don't repeat it. He's like, this is probably your soda. It's probably soap in your soda, which I had not considered. I'm like, why would you be soap in my soda? Because I mean,
when you're that sick, it's not a combination. When you're that sick, it's one random thing.
Yeah,
was bad.
Like, so I have soda in my fridge, and if when people come over next, I'm going to say, hey, who wants some soda? See if they drink the soda I have. And see
if they get sick?
Yeah.
See
if they die.
So when you guys come over, I know you're going to cancel tomorrow, but maybe I'll bring some soda to work tomorrow.
Okay.
So like,
soda delivery.
Jordan cooked up some steak yesterday, and basically my steak was seared and raw.
Jordan likes it seared and raw is basically... he'll make steak and just eat half the steak off the counter before he even makes the steak. He'll cut it up and just mow it down.
It was good, but my tummy definitely said, after that.
But see, that's a different kind of sick than that. That's just like your tummy then, because that just comes out one end, you're fine. But when the other...
It wasn't projectile. I mean, it wasn't like I was pooing, but it definitely my stomach said, what did you put in me? I'm going to make pains for you. And I'm going to make loud noises.
If you're going to eat raw beef, you need to eat it ground so that the connective tissue is all severed and destroyed. Eating whole beef, like in steak form, that's still basically raw, just doesn't work.
Well, it's also technically, if you eat like a steak like that, you're not exactly going to get as sick as if you were eating just ground beef.
Why?
Ground beef has a chance for all... Normally, if it's a steak, usually if you cook it on the outside, it's going to be fine because usually the stuff on the inside is still just standard meat.
I'm not talking about go to the grocery store and get something that's been ground a week ago. If you're going to eat raw ground beef, you need to buy a whole piece of meat and then grind it and then immediately eat it.
That's fine.
If I eat raw beef, I eat it in ground form or I eat it in carpaccio form. I'm just saying like a whole chunk.
You said a word.
Carpaccio.
What's the word?
Carpaccio, hey!
Other than something Italian?
Well, it's actually technically not an Italian. No, I think it is an Italian dish. It's named after an Italian painter named Carpaccio who always used bright reds in his art. And so the chef who invented the dish named it after him because it's just a big plate of bright red. But you think meat like so thinly sliced you can see through it and you eat it raw with capers and Parmesan cheese.
And pepper?
Yeah, you can put a little cracked pepper on it, but usually it's the capers and the Parmesan cheese are the main flavoring, and some greens of some kind.
That sounds good.
I remember the very first time as a small child learning that I could eat raw beef with just pepper on it. It was so good.
I eat a lot of ground beef with salt.
Yeah, salt
and
beef.
Italian restaurant that you guys don't like because you like the other Italian restaurant that has almost the same name.
Yeah.
There's like The one you guys like.
I don't know the other one, so I might not. I might actually like it.
The one next to work with.
The one right there by you. That's like
a that place. That place is expensive.
But they have carpaccio, and so I've gotten it there a couple times. But
I've actually never been to that restaurant. I've grown to hate it just because it's there.
I've eaten there so much because of work, because I keep having like free lunch meetings over there. People like to go to lunch, but now we go and get burgers for lunch, which is even better.
There you go.
Oh.
And Gornis78 is right that steak cooked medium rare is the best, and it still frustrates me that when you go places, they ask you how you want your steak.
Well, you know, some people like it with ketchup.
Those people are wrong. You know, I've said it before, but when you go to a pasta place, they don't ask how you want your pasta. They just cook it al dente because that's correct. They should do the same thing with steaks. Just cook it correct.
No. Some orange beans in our world like their steaks.
Those
just,
people
just fuck themselves. Well done with ketchup.
That's fine. And if you like your pasta so overcooked that it just turns to mush and it can't hold sauce, you can do that at home. But the restaurant shouldn't ask you if you want it that way. If you request it that way, they should do it that way, right?
Sure.
Like if I go to a restaurant and I say, please cook my pasta an extra hour. I want it to dissolve in the water. And then you take that water with clumps of X pasta in it and dump that in a bowl. That's what I want. They can serve that to me because I asked for it, but they don't bother asking me if I want it that way because they assume I want it al dente. They should treat steaks the same way. The waiter should go, what do you want? You say, I want a ribeye. They say, thank you, end of conversation, unless you are going to specifically request that your steak be terrible.
There has been days where I've been cooking up some mac and cheese on the stove, and then I just happen to go do something, and I come back, and I think it's probably going to be good. And so then I finish making it, and it's not good.
Yeah. Well, you put enough cheese and butter on there, it can be okay. Mm. I mean, it definitely isn't good as it could have been.
Yeah. No, it has like a weird... purpose,
right? And that's the same thing. If you accidentally overcook a steak, you're like, oh, shit, I overcooked it. But, oh, well, maybe I can fix it with a little A1 because now it's terrible and I need to make it palatable. But that, again, was an overcooking. You didn't purposely turn your mac and cheese to mush.
Most people I know that do enjoy the A1 and stuff is people who do the well done. Yeah. It's like they're more for the flavor of the sauce than they are the flavor of the meat.
Yeah,
it's
just mix that with hamburger meat.
It's just a meat delivery system, or it's just a sauce delivery system. It's like when I make French fries, I get a gallon of ketchup, and I just... the fries are there to give me the ketchup with just a hint of fry. It's like, is pretty much what.
My tater tots are a ketchup delivery system to me.
Sure. Yeah.
But I do like tater tots, so too.
Tots are good.
I like little mini hash browns in a cylindrical form.
Our toddy. That's my story.
So we have some announcements.
We have announcements.
When is the Frankenstein event going to be now?
I don't know when the Frankenstein event is going to be. I'm going to have to... So,
maybe July-ish?
Long story short, I originally made the Frankenstein event set for yesterday, back in April, with a local game store. Well, local game store told me on Tuesday last Tuesday. Would that still work in grammar terms?
Yeah.
Last Tuesday?
It's last Tuesday.
Yep, not this Tuesday, because this Tuesday would infer this coming Tuesday.
Right, and so last is pretty unambiguous, because this and next are the argument, you know, but the one that's just passed is still last.
Yep.
Now, if this was Wednesday, and you were talking about last Tuesday, then the same conversation would have to happen.
Correct. So we're talking about Tuesday, whatever date, like the 20th or something like that.
Yes.
So I was informed by them that they changed their schedule and they accidentally booked, not accidentally, they overbooked. They booked a Magic PTQ that same day.
Well, it was a Magic PTQ and it was a 40K. The problem was the Magic takes up a lot of space. Plus, they did have what limited space was left. They also added another 40K event, which had a much higher sign up, I think, because of the launch of 40, the new edition.
Yeah.
A new edition is going to be a big deal for any game.
Yep. So then I decided I was going to cancel it right then and there because I didn't think Pegasus would be able to support it. I drove over to Pegasus during my lunch, talked to a manager over at Pegasus. Unfortunately, that manager didn't know what was going on that weekend and told me everything was good to go. And then I talked to the person that does know what happens over at Pegasus on the weekends on Wednesday, and he proceeded to tell me that, no, it was a no-go.
Yeah, when you first posted it was moving to Peg, I'm like, wow, that's amazing, because Peg's calendar, Peg and I'm Bored, not that I'm Bored does anything with War Machine, have the same, it's not really a problem, but they have so many mini-events going on there, so it's like, I'm Bored fills up every Saturday, but they have like six different types of things. And Pegasus is in the same boat where they fill up so much just off of like four events.
So my issue was, and this is actually leads into another big issue, and actually it's with Privateer.
Close your ears, Travis.
So the event over on at Pegasus, they were having a big D&D event that day. Normally on Wednesdays, they take up maybe three tables, which is technically six tables because they put two tables together for each group.
Sure.
So it means a big D&D event on Saturday is probably have five or six tables worth of D&D players. Which means 10 or 12 tables, which leaves us with absolutely nothing. Excuse me. The problem would have been fine had I been able to know how many people were showing up for the event. In Facebook, all we have is going or interested.
Yeah.
And declined. And interested, I have no idea if they're going to be there or not. You know, it's just somebody just said, yeah, maybe. Previously,
you had the forums.
We had the forums over at Privateer.
Yep.
And ever since they shut those down, nobody ever fucking goes to those forums.
And technically, some of the forums still exist, but because so few are there, no one goes for the ones that are remaining.
There's no reason to go to the events forums because there's no actual traffic to Privateer's forums except for probably rules discrepancies, which end up going over to CID and then directed back over to the regular forums. And then there's no other... Okay, so sorry, I just read
chat distracted.
Chat
Andy.
Distracted me.
The Moose to Crack has showed up, and it's like, oh, ah, Metalocalypse reference, me likey.
But yeah, so nobody ever goes to the Privateer forums, and that's where we used to get our really good numbers. Generally, mm-hmm. We get to know that, like, okay, we're having for sure 12 people showing up, and since I didn't have a proper number, there was no way I was going to be able to run the event because. Might have 30 people show up, might have 4 people show up.
Right? I would say in general, the Privateer forums give you about an 80 to 85% accuracy, and Facebook gives you about a 30% accuracy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a hit or miss because that interested is so vague, it's terrifying. Where at Facebook, at least, you get a pretty good concept. I mean, the forums. And I mean, sure, there was the occasional where you think you got 12 coming and 20 show up, but, you know, typically it's pretty close.
That's been how it's been the last couple times too, where it's been like Rick thought he was only gonna have like 12 people or so and ended up having like 22 for his CID event.
I mean, it's a great problem to have when you get extra people, but when you're trying to plan tables out and think, I mean, you put a lot of effort into getting the exact numbers you need and table set up and train set up and all that kind of stuff, and
yeah,
it's a weird problem, but it's still a problem.
So yeah, so then I unfortunately had to cancel the event on Thursday. So I got surprise support for a future event. I don't know when I'm going to reschedule the Frankenstein. Well,
don't schedule it for August 26th.
No, because that is when? What is that?
It's August 26th. That is when?
I knew what I was trying to say, but something out of my mouth came weird back.
Wait. When,
something out of
when,
my mouth came weird back.
Came when? Weird bad.
Weird bad. Me no talk. Talk bad, weird bad. August 26th at the WITC for this year.
Is that also going to be starring maybe the Mayhem Cup?
Yeah. You're talking about having that be the Mayhem Cup host as well, which would be really cool. And whatever prize support you get for the Frankenstein.
Yeah, I could probably bring the prize support over for that.
No, we'll have our own prize support.
You should have a new Frankenstein because that's, you know, they'll be in it. You can get one like maybe.
People are interested in the concept, so yeah. you'll run that. You'll still have that. But so August 26th at WITC. We haven't made an event page yet. We just posted a thing. I'm like, oh, I have to make an event for that so people can all put interested so I have no idea how many people are coming.
Yes.
That's less of an issue for us because we do the pre-sign up.
Yep.
Pre-sign up and everything. And so that'll be more set in stone once we get that rolling out.
Oh, one other thing I was going to say too is I'm very thankful that we have another local person, two local people that are working on building a tournament sign up type thing.
Sure.
I don't want to mention names though, but it's looking to be attached on to something that's very popular out there for list building.
What?
Well, I mean, for software, we already have some looking.
iBodger.
Yes, iBodger. Oh, no, Armies of Imran.
Yes.
So we're bringing back.
Are you not supposed to mention things that people locally make or something? Or is
No, I think actually Rick and David have actually talked about it.
He doesn't want to put
pressure on them. Oh. Well, I mean...
But they're talking about setting up something through Conflict Chamber, where you'll be able to sign up for events, see events, post your list to the event that could work with PG Swiss. So you can actually have, you know, your TO go download the lists.
Anybody who did the ATC, that's how we did that, is people were able to, we gave the team captains codes, mm-hmm. and they were able to, their lists were saved on Conflict Chamber, were only accessible with the code, and then when it was time for us to run the event, mm-hmm. we clicked a couple buttons, and all those lists just loaded straight into PG Swiss for us to run the event. It was tied straight into Conflict Chamber. We didn't have to enter anything. It was amazing.
Conflict Chamber is a pretty neat program. I mean, you know, it's still unofficial, so you know, you can't like track games. We still need War Room, but it is really nice for list building. And I do like the fact that that could link to PG Swiss. That's if they can get that. Those guys both are good programmers, and they make their programs just They make them just effective. So I mean, they're not, I wouldn't say they're very pretty, but they're not also ugly. They're functional, neutral, and they are very very good. Well, I mean, because some people make
apps. Why are we talking about how attractive of men they are? Where did that come
from?
The apps. I thought you were just discussing, you know,
how Rick and David are just gender neutral.
They're not very pretty, but they're not ugly either. Hold on, wait now.
Well, no, when you run an app, it's poor. I mean, to be fair, I mean, Rick does have that funny face, but other than that.
He looks like that guy with the glasses.
Yeah. What? Maybe. Sure.
Yeah.
Doug Jones? Doug something. No, Doug Jones is the mime.
He's Doug something.
Yeah, it is Doug something.
Doug, yeah, but he looks like that guy with the
Doug
glasses.
Doug something is his port name.
Yeah.
Doug something. But D-U-G.
Do, do, do,
yeah.
Do,
Doug do, something.
Do, 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 do.
So August 26th, WITC.
WITC.
It's the three-man format that we switched to. So three-person teams. I shouldn't say three-man, three-player.
Not
ship captain crew, no.
No, what was the method?
Master and commander.
No. No, what was that? Crucible.
Commander's Crucible.
Commander's Crucible? Is that what it is?
No, that's not what
I mean,
either.
That was a different version of it.
No, Commander's Crucible was entirely unconnected at all to any team events.
What is the one that everybody knows, and we're going with a different one?
Captain My Captain?
No, I'm not going to stand on a table.
or a desk. Captain's Crunch. Captain.
No, I thought it was a Crucible. Courageous. I thought it was Commander's Crucible.
Commander's Crucible is the...
Three Commanders.
Three Commanders, yes. Commander's Crucible was where you built a giant battle group, and then you... Or not, no, the battle group.
No, that's
Commander's Crucible was the thing...
You guys are killing me right
Brian
now.
Brian always played it at Adepticon because literally nobody played it, so he only had to... It was like a two-round tournament every time, and he'd get a trophy
out of it. Hey, I have nice trophies on my wall from that event. I just put together because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a three-person team thing.
No. No.
It was one person, a bunch of lists.
But anyway, we are doing a three-person team event. And blah, blah, shut up. The player pamphlet is on the America's Team Championship Facebook page and on the website, so people can get the player pamphlet and see how the format works. The point is that it's more like the standard five-person team where you actually pick the matchups on the tables and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's nifty and neat and cool, and it was invented by Germans, so you know it's good.
Yep. Three Commanders.
Right. But no, we're not doing three commanders.
We're not doing three commanders. We're doing the weird German thingy.
Yeah, because three commanders sucks, and you can totally sandbag it and ruin it. And it's one of those things like, you know, be a gentleman. Because you're supposed to, with three commanders, you're supposed to rank your players best, mm-hmm. middle, and shitty.
Yeah.
But if you put your best guy like in the middle, and your shitty guy on top, and your middle guy bottom, then you'll win two out of three every time, because your shitty guy just loses to what's supposed to be a good guy. And that was dumb.
Well, but when all the teams do it, then it's a metagame. It's a game within a game.
Right, yes. It's nail all over again. Either way, that's not how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, exactly.
But the three-person format we're using has the you match up the teams, and then you have the team captains put a person on a table, and then they match the table, and you choose your matchups live at the tables, similar to how the five-person ones do it. But it's It's August 26th is the important part, and I will talk about it literally every Sunday from now until then.
Yep, hopefully it doesn't cancel.
It will not cancel.
Because you guys actually have a venue this time around.
We have a venue this time, although, yeah, we have a venue now. There was some struggling with that, and we did have to stomp on somebody else's event. But luckily it wasn't like a War Machine event, it was just somebody's wedding, and those aren't important at all.
Well, the wedding is also out of state. I mean, that was a
big
thing.
I do feel bad because the wedding that we had to schedule at the same time as is people that are dear friends of the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're also locals to Milwaukee, so they almost certainly would have come to the event.
Correct.
And so it is sad, but their wedding is being done not in Milwaukee, and I think I mean, I don't know how many...
Two states away.
Yeah.
I don't know how many War Machine players were going to there anyway, so apart from those two and a few of their close friends, I don't think there's too many people that were double booking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that there's 20 people who were all set to go to their wedding that go, well, fuck you guys, I'm going to a tournament instead.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, right.
But I mean, it's you try hard not to overbook anything. It is life. It's just impossible at some point. It's like,
I mean, this week after Gen Con as well, isn't it? Or 2 weeks after Gen Con?
2 weeks ish.
It's August 26th. That's what I know. I don't know when Gen Con is because Gen Con's off my radar for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be going this year.
It's such a pain in the neck to get a hotel room. It's such a pain in the neck to get the bed. I just can't.
It's going
to
be...
It's wonderful
when it's there.
I go through the work in January to go, but if I can't get it taken care of in January, that's off my radar. But January, right. January is when I think about Gen Con. And if my January fails, then it's just not there.
Yep.
I'm scared of going to Gen Con this year. It's the week after.
Yep.
It is the week after Gen Con. So yeah, I'm scared of going to Gen Con this year because of it's the 50th anniversary of it.
That might actually be part of the reason why. I wonder if the people getting married are going to Gen Con because they're having their wedding near where Gen Con is. So they might just stay down there for an extra week.
That'd be kind of convenient.
Who Brian and
yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Because that makes sense now that I think about it, because that's kind of where they're having their wedding.
Don't think that they're if doing
they come
that
back. And then go back down? That just seems... I don't know. Whatever. It's not my wedding.
That was also the reason why I personally was probably not going to be able to make it to their wedding was I was going to Gen Con, and I would then come back here and then go back down for the wedding.
Right.
And that, unfortunately, I don't want to make those long trips. If I had the whole week off or something like that, maybe... But,
I still have Gen Con off technically, so if I fall into a hotel room, I'll still go to Gen Con. But as of right now, I assume I'm not going. It's just one of those things where I have to cancel. I'll cancel my vacation for Gen Con like the week because now is a time where Board Game Geeks are posting all like what games are going to be at Gen Con. I go, oh my god, I want to go to Gen Con so bad to pick up these games.
I also need a room.
I like Travis in the chat here. Somebody's like, when's the ATC? And he says, we'll be announcing that soon. And then he immediately announces it in the chat. It's like, okay, that falls under the definition of soon, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you later. It's this time. It's like, well, technically that's later because time goes that direction.
The way he's worded it in chat, though, it makes it seem like that it's going to be happening the weekend after Gen Con.
The ATC?
Yep.
No, Gen Con is not in January. Last I checked.
Yeah, I know.
The ATC, I guess, is also... I didn't know we locked that down yet, but the ATC is apparently going to be January 13th and 14th. So a little earlier, but...
Well, a little earlier. Hopefully there's not any kind of weather issues, but that's kind of hard to find.
You have to dodge so many fucking weekends.
Well, the thing is, yeah, if you're going to do in Wisconsin, you might as well just get it when you can do it, because there's so many things to dodge, and just fuck it and do it when you happen. Hopefully the weather won't fuck you.
And as far as weather, assuming we do the same venue, and even if we don't do the same venue, we'll do one nearby, we're approximately 7 feet away from the airport, so weather's not that big of an issue. You land, you get an Uber, you're done.
Yeah. Uber is such a better way to travel than taxi. It's just so much nicer.
Yeah, but Taxi was a good show.
Taxi was okay show.
How dare you, sir?
Okay. How dare
now, when,
you?
Later
I'm
season,
more
they
akin
focus
to DC
on
Cab.
Later season, when they focus more on Lotka and Simca, it got a little shark jumpy. But earlier on, you got Reverend Jim. You got good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
speaking of TV, I was watching The Shay's Dogs. So on Saturday, I watched All Aglow on Netflix. I just sat down and I was playing with the dogs and just watched 10 episodes of the show. It was only half an hour episode, so it didn't take that long to watch.
Yeah.
But it was amusing. It's my TV story.
I watched a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm caught up on the season so far.
Yeah.
Did you finish watching the one with what's her name in the house? The kids and the lady?
Oh, the Mick?
The Mick.
Yes, I got to the end of the Mick as well.
God, I love the fucking Mick. That's my favorite new comedy of last year. By far.
The monster episode is probably my favorite episode so far. The kid keeps on dreaming about monsters and puke everywhere. And that's what happens.
The Mick's got to be good because it's got what's her balls.
Yeah. It's surprisingly offensive for regular TV. I mean, they really pushed the boundaries for ABC.
Yeah, it's Fox. Those networks. Fox. Well, if it's Fox, then I mean, then. But those networks like to have one edgy comedy on them at any given point in time because they know that there's some market there, but they don't want to push everybody away by being nothing but edgy.
Yeah.
Like, they won't go Always Sunny in Philadelphia edgy, but they'll go Married with Children edgy.
Oh, they went. They went
Always Sunny pretty much.
They went Always Sunny a couple times. It was pretty bad. the clown with the drugs and the needles. I mean, there was some pretty borderline shit going on in that show. I was impressed.
The gambling episode as well.
Did we learn a lesson here? I don't know. Yeah, the Mick. That's the recommendation. Watch the fucking
Talk of the Genius this episode.
Just briefly, JS Twitch, watch the first episode of The Genius, and brings up a good question. What, you know, they never talk about what they would do for a tie in the elimination games.
Yeah.
But one hasn't come up, so, you know, I'm sure they would have had a rule. But I will say, just for because he watched the first episode of The Genius, it was his own goddamn Garnet. Fucking A, that was masterful.
When there are ties, they do like another bonus round of the same thing.
Oh, do they? In the later episodes, is there a tie?
Yeah, there's like a tie, and then they just like keep going. They go into like a sudden death.
It's his own Garnet. Holy shit.
Yeah. His own Garnet.
Motherfucker. Anyway, yes, we won't talk about The Genius for 20 minutes this episode. Andy gets sick of us talking about The Genius.
And it's fine. It's turning people
there
onto
to be
it.
A Genius podcast.
Well, yeah.
Once you guys were in Korean, you
have you started season 2 yet?
I have not started season 2 yet. I will get around to starting season 2.
That's fine. I need to know when I need to start season 3 when you start 2. So
I want you and I to arrange a Genius competition through the podcast. We need to get like 10 of our locals and do a weekly thing.
We probably could orchestrate some shenanigans off that. Tim would probably be love to help. We could get Tim to orchestrate some stuff.
I got video equipment.
Yeah. You need to record, like, because the big thing with that is, in addition to the games themselves, they have like the different rooms, and so you need like 4 or 5 different cameras, because when people, it's like 2 rooms in a boom, you'd want to be able to film all the meeting places, but then there's a lot of editing to splice that shit back together. So it'd be a lot of work that I wouldn't do.
I know, I'd be the one doing it.
Yep,
I would have to. Jeremy seems to be akin to that, but I don't want any star wipes.
JS Twitch says they thought theft wasn't allowed. There was no theft. If you find abandoned property and then give it back to somebody, you never stole it. Now, if they think that you're giving them new property, that's their own stupid assumption.
Yeah, it was definitely, yeah.
There was no theft. There was like, here, I want you to have this. And he's like, oh, thank you. It's his fault he didn't realize they were saying, by the way, this is yours, I found it.
Oh,
yeah.
Ah, good times. That was your spirit animal that was part of that too, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. And my girl, yeah. Good shit.
Oh, I'm so happy though. I've got Fresca peach citrus soda.
Peach soda is delicious.
It is the best. Now I can buy it.
It's good that exists, because if I could only drink peach Faygo, I would have super diabetes.
Oh yeah, because there's no diet peach Faygo.
No.
There's very few.
There's zero. Well, I guess
maybe
not.
There is now.
Because there's definitely orange has. Their orange has.
Yeah, but there's very few diet Faygo drinks.
Sure.
The big ones, like orange is the most popular fruit-flavored drink, not counting lemon lime, just because that's like a... But as far as a single flavor, I think orange followed by grape.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure, I mean, that makes sense.
When you get to the peaches and the strawberries and stuff, it's a small enough market that they just don't bother with the diets, I think.
I don't understand why there's no diet grape. There's barely any diet grape
there's
soda.
There's no diet grape stuff either. You are right.
It's upsetting, because, man, I like grape soda as well. Peach soda is the best, but I can get it in zero calorie versions.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
What else happened?
Well, you watched Wonder Woman.
I finally saw Wonder Woman
last week.
Now the Shays aren't here.
That's their own problem.
It is.
Well, they flew out on Thursday afternoon and came back. They got in at 10 a.m. this morning, so they basically flew out super late and then came back super early. So they were gone for 2 days and just had half, you know, a lot of flying.
Blech.
Well, they were visiting family, so.
Wonder Woman!
Yeah, Wonder Woman. Did you like it, Andy?
All the world is waiting for you.
Yeah. I mean, there's obvious comparisons to, at least I feel there's obvious comparisons to Captain America. Different time period, obviously.
What, a hero wearing one red, white, and blue battling Germans?
Yeah, but these are much different Germans than the other They future are. Germans.
I do like when she finally throws on the outfit and kind of charges the lines. It's kind of a cool little, like, really nice.
Oh, yeah, we should mention moment. Spoilers, but if you haven't seen Wonder Woman in the past 3 weeks.
It's a superhero movie that's been out for a month. If you haven't seen it, you're a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna, if you haven't seen it, you're not going to watch it, so.
Yeah.
That walk through No Man's Land is a very, very cool sequence.
Yep.
Yeah, they handled that really well. They did such a good job with him not over trying to, because you figure like you might have him overshadow her because DC did so many things wrong, and they handled that pretty well overall, and they did
the level of import to Chris Pine's character was pretty well balanced. Yeah. He was neither the sidekick nor did he overshadow her as the heroic male. They did a good job balancing that,
and that deserves credit because that's a hard thing. I mean, in today's world, you would have think they would have gone one way or the other too far or whatever.
I thought they. The way that they were teasing it through the commercials, then too, the first trailers that I saw, with his assistant being that kind of weird, kind of catty, or that I thought that they might have gone too far with that, but that felt balanced just fine.
Yep. Yeah, that, and we talked about a little bit, not going too spoilersy before you had seen it, but so we can do a little more now. That's along the lines. They did a good job with that, with all of those topics, like the feminism aspect with her, you know, trying on the clothes. Like, she doesn't single-handedly bring about women's suffrage and solve all misogyny in the world because she's Wonder Woman. They just touch on it, and they go, well, this is crappy. And then she's like, well, fuck this noise. And then she goes off, and she's Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And so they don't get bogged down in that. But they touch on it a little bit, which, you know, should be done in a movie that it's, you know, I mean, feminist to some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, it needs to be feminist to some extent, but it doesn't have to be, you know, MRA, shove it down your throat feminist.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was an overpowering film. I mean, it didn't feel like it was teaching me a lesson of the world. It was an entertaining, awesome with good, well thought out characters.
Well, they made a DC movie that was interesting. They actually had humor in a DC movie for once again. I mean, it was just a nice thing to see going on.
Yeah, she punches a tank. She's very excited.
But flips a tank.
Yeah.
Well, then even when he did this, because when he was on the island, they do the Emma. When they set up in the Emma, they do it right. They set up with her backstory and just kind of keeping you there. And then when Chris Pine, because he you know he did the whole flip thing to get her in the clock tower. You know, he was paying attention and was playing to the strengths of her character. It was just.
I'm going
to
go on record that young Diana was more adorable than Baby Groot.
Yes.
She was fucking adorable.
Yeah, young Baby Diana was. Toddler Diana was adorable.
Find something you love as much as she loves watching Amazons practice fighting, and you stick with whatever that thing is for the rest of your life.
I didn't have a father.
What? Oh, yeah.
My mother made me out of clay, and
I thought you were just side mentioning that. A terrible. Okay.
It just turned dark.
I didn't know that we're just going to therapy land here. No. Enough about Wonder Woman. I hurt myself at night.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, I felt like I feel it's a movie that is compared directly with Captain America. Yeah. I felt the villain in this was a little bit better than Red Skull. He felt like more of a threat.
I enjoy their movies overall, obviously, more, but they do flounder their villains occasionally.
Yeah.
I wish they did more.
DC goes too over the top sometimes, ridiculous, and Marvel does it a little bit too underplayed.
Yeah. I wish they did more with Dr. Poison. She was not significant. He was a very small part of it.
The God of War is hilarious because he's in Fargo. He's Vargo from Fargo, which is just a weird thing to watch. Like the
In the new season?
Yeah, the new season.
Damn it!
He's just. I mean, he's all over this season. He's not. I mean, it's just hilarious that he's.
Yeah, he's also. I just saw something with him recently in there too.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, he's in Harry Potter, he's also in something else too.
Fargo?
No.
Oh, he's in Wonder Woman.
Yes.
That's probably where you saw him recently, Andy.
Good job.
You're welcome.
He's here for you.
I'm a helper.
You are helping. It's adorable.
But everyone should go see Wonder Woman before it's out of the theaters, which probably won't be very soon. Probably be in there for a couple more.
Well, it's summer. There's Spider-Man's coming out in a week or so, and the reviews for that are coming in pretty good.
Andy and I talked about Spider-Man, and Andy has some valid concerns, but I'm hopeful that they will Like
I take it pretty lightly. I mean, I don't even. I guess I just can't be bothered by what they do with Spider-Man. I mean, I just. Plus, I mean, the reviews are the reviews are already pretty good.
Which is good.
I think my complaint about it would be about the same as people complaining about Peter Parker in the first Spider-Man
not having
web shooters, but it's all organic. Yep. I think that's probably my...
Your complaint is unlike... Like, it's a truth to the character complaint. It's not a quality of story complaint.
It's mechanical. That's right. It's not him.
Sure. And Tony Stark was nice enough to invent things for him because... Peter Parker's a drooling idiot and can't possibly invent his own things. It's not like he's literally the smartest person in the Marvel mythos.
Well, you don't know how much Tony made. I mean, Tony made him a suit, but it'll be interesting to see how much.
And so it's concerns, not valid 100% factual complaints yet.
Yeah. The one concern I have is it's shown in a trailer of them hacking into the suit and then seeing a training wheels program that's been locked out other powers of the suit. I'm worried that it's not about Spider-Man. It's about Tony Stark's gift to a random child.
Oh.
Yeah, really. Like, he's not going to be able to be just actual Spider-Man. Right. He's Spider-Man, but he has a super suit, too.
And my hope that scene is early, like at the end of the first act of the film, and then Spider-Man says, fuck you, Tony, I'll make my own suit, and then kicks ass on his own, you know, as opposed to just being a guy wearing a super Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
he's not the smartest person in Arctic Circle, but he's like top five. Mr. Fantastic is up there. You got like Professor X and stuff.
I hope
like
Dr.
that.
Doom.
But Peter Parker is one of the... He's got to be top five
with
smartest
gadgets.
Heroes.
I mean, his whole mythos for Spider-Man is all about gadgets. Really more in the 60s, 70s was really when he was really gadgety.
Right.
Where you'd have the spider car and, you know, the little spider things that pop out.
Since Spider-Man is still more Sony than them, even though they kind of share him, I do hope they do the same thing for with the Infinity Gauntlet. I hope Spider-Man's the one who wins it, and then everyone forgets it.
Oh,
that's what I love that. That's such a dick thing where he actually beats Thanos, but then because of the whole shenanigans, no one realizes it. So I hope he gets screwed over that way too.
And then he kills Mary Jane with radioactive cum, and then he makes a deal with Satan. Oh, wait, no, that stuff sucked. Never mind. Hopefully they don't do that stuff.
So the actor that plays the God of War, Ares, in Wonder Woman, is also the really cool knight that was with Orlando Bloom in Kingdom of Heaven.
Yes, sure. Yes.
That's actually where I recognized him from. I didn't really realize he was from Harry Potter until I saw the list in the...
Like, I know the guy, he's from Harry Potter.
Nope, I recognized him as a knight. I'm like, he looks really familiar. And then, yeah.
Well, he's a great character in that.
Kingdom of Heaven?
Yeah.
Yes, he is a very cool character.
There are people who haven't seen that movie. There's people that either haven't seen it or they've only seen the regular version.
And that's the worst. That's the worst of those two possibilities, only seeing the regular version. It's like Alien 3, only seeing the regular version is also terrible.
I've had that loaded up in my DVR for a while now.
The assembly cut?
I have yet to watch it.
Have you ever seen the assembly cut?
Nope. Nope. I've read the side-by-side.
Sure.
There's a really nice page out there. I remember I found it. It had a nice written side-by-side of what's different in each sequence.
IMDb usually has those when there's more than one. I mean, that might not be the site you saw, but IMDb has... if there's two versions of the film, they have, and they break it down like by timestamp and everything. Or I guess it's... Not necessarily side by side, but like they're like in the director's cut, here's what's different. And they'll be like, this timestamp, there's a 42-second scene where this, and this happens. And so they tell you the additional things.
Yeah, and basically, like instead of being through a dog, it's through a dead cow, is basically where it's.
Yeah, they changed that. Although the dog made that, because that's why it was like small and fast, but whatever.
It's not a dog anymore? What?
The assembly cut, it's out of a beef. Like a giant or a cow.
Why would they change that?
I don't know. It's just
they change little
just
things.
Like little bit of things here and there. I mean, I
but it still has Charles Dance as a sexy young heartthrob. Well, maybe not young, but not an octogenarian.
As an octopus?
Hello.
Yep.
I just shot somebody.
Yeah.
Probably the best part of that movie.
What movie?
Last action hero. When the villain's in the real world and just kills a dude and gets away with it, and he's so confused.
Like, he doesn't hear sirens immediately because that's how it happens in the movies.
Yeah. The yeah. hero doesn't show up and stop him. He just murders a guy.
Yeah, no, that's...
You can do that on Earth.
I do look... That's a... That segment's pretty great. That movie has some elements that I greatly enjoy.
It's one of those movies that's almost there.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's sometimes... I mean, I'll be fair. Those movies are what I almost hate more because they're almost there and they just didn't turn the corner and it almost frustrates me more.
Well, it's like I talked about Lucy. You know how I feel Lucy's a movie like that that's just almost there. Yeah.
Last Action Hero, if they didn't... I mean, I know that the kid element in that film is the
point.
The point and the drive for the whole thing. But if that movie was just a Jack Slater film, I would have liked that.
And I
still.
Don't mind... I mean, I guess I don't mind kids in movies too much, but it's just, this is something else about that movie that's wrong.
Even individual things, like, it's almost like each of the individual jokes, like, you understand, and you know, like, oh, of course there's a cartoon cat, because... Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily land, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of the concepts and ideas are super there, but a percentage of them just kind of go, oh, yeah, okay, I get it, as opposed to actively being...
Maybe I should watch that again, because I haven't seen it in, like, 20 years.
It didn't add to the movie, though. The only time that a kid actually added to the movie to me was Iron Man 3. Like, I love the kid in that. Like,
that was the best part of Iron Man 3.
For whatever reason, that kid just worked.
I got a movie that'll top that.
Because they subverted it, right? Yeah.
I will top that for a kid element in a movie.
Friday the 13th Part 4?
Nope.
All right.
Master and Commander.
Yeah.
Because that kid in that movie is...
They're not even kids, though. I mean, you're not wrong.
He is a 10-year-old man.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
There are, I mean...
Holy shit! That sequence though, where he has his arm chopped, you know, he's got his arm in a, you know, a sling or whatever,
yeah,
taped up, and he's like leading the charge of the pirates onto the other ship.
What you got to do?
Fuck. I love that final scene so much because not only did they sneak up on another ship, but before they fire, they still raise their flag. It's like just like a dick move. And then I don't know. Something about pirates. Sometimes about ship combat is so much fun to watch. Like submarine movies. And ship combats. It's just so much fun to watch naval battles.
Did either of you ever get around to watching Black Sails?
Talked about it. It is on my short list. I'm within like a week or two of getting Stars and binging Black Sails, watching the whole first season of American Gods, and then rewatching Evil Dead.
The season finale of season one has a ship to ship combat scene, and it's glorious.
I want to watch a show. I don't know if it was season one. There's a rape in that show, and I know the
internet like episode 3 or 4. And the AV Club actually didn't do any future seasons, I think, because the reviewer was so upset about the rape.
Yeah, they get so nothing turns those guys off more than rape. I mean,
it's true.
To be fair, that's a good sentence. Nothing turns someone off more than rape. I mean, that's a logical thing to say. Sure. But man, they hate it as a plot device. They will stop reviewing the show.
They think it's a cheap and easy, you know, because you're like, oh, we need something really horrific to happen to a woman. Let's just gang rape her.
Yeah.
You know? And so I could totally understand that. But, you know, it has repercussions, and characters grow from it, and characters die because of it, and characters become stronger and weaker. And, I mean, it's not like a throwaway, here's a bad thing. It's like it's a central part of like three or four different people's plot arcs.
And if someone's going to rape someone, if you use the word pirate, I'm going to probably believe it more than someone else. Or like college student or like pirate. Hey, I'm assuming rape.
But he's a good swimmer. Anyway.
So another show that I think, Nathan, you should watch with me is you should watch Taboo with me.
The old 70s porno?
No, not the old 70s porno.
That'd be a weird podcast.
No, Taboo with...
With Bane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was...
Or Bronson.
If he talks in the Bane voice, I'll watch it right now.
Well, he basically talks like pretty much... He's not in the Bane voice, but
he's
definitely...
It's the British accent. He doesn't have the bass on his face.
He's definitely all grumbly throughout the entire thing. The set design for that movie, or that it feels like a movie. Yeah. Every episode feels like it's a straight out of period movie. It's really well done.
When they do TV shows that well, because The Expanse kind of had that same feel where it just felt movie quality. It's correct. Nice when you watch certain shows that can pull that off.
It was very immersive. The character, the main villain of it. Do you watch the HBO Game of Thrones?
What?
Do you watch HBO Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I forget who hates it and who doesn't hate it.
That's a fair thing. It's just,
whether I hate it or not, I'm still going to watch it. Okay. I mean, you have to. You're legally obligated to watch Game of Thrones.
The fact you called it HBO's Game of Thrones. I only watch TNT's Game of Thrones. Yeah. It's a much smaller budget, but...
The villain of Black...
It's like three bearded dragons, just straight from PetSmart, just carrying around in a tank.
So the villain in Taboo is the High Sparrow.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just about as asshole-y.
Oh, I should know his name. Pierce, right?
I don't know his... I don't know
he's
his,
a fairly popular actor.
He did the first season of What I Lied to You before... well, never mind.
I haven't watched the episode of the last season, but I hope he wins in the end. And not get blown up randomly.
What?
What?
For what?
What? What? Price. Jonathan Price. That's his name.
What's happening?
Not Pierce.
That starts like less than a month. We are away from the next season.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the fuck out of the Shays go on vacation a week after it starts. I told them I'll just send them like stills of the show. They're going to like, they'll get back and it'll basically be over.
You should show them pictures of you watching it in their house.
At least I don't have to watch your dogs for a month. You know, taking your dog somewhere. I have someone coming to watch your dogs for like a month. Someone's going to move into their house.
Weird.
Well, they have like people who do that. There's like, sure. They know the people who, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I know that there was some type of app like that set up for people to come babysit your dogs.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, the people are in this, I mean, people are in companies based on that, you know, you can just.
Yeah, no, whatever. I mean, versus kenneling them.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess when cheaper. I was a kid, I stayed at, well, I didn't stay there.
In a kennel?
Yeah, in a kennel. No, like some family friends went on vacation for like 2 weeks or something. And so I dog sat at their home and just went there and just hung out at their house for like 8 hours a day during the summer.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool. Good money. Like you pay a kid $20 a day when he's like 14. He thinks he's a millionaire.
Yeah. Disposable income. Here I come.
Yep. No bills. Just hookers and blow.
So I bought Friday the 13th today.
On the PC, I assume?
On the PC.
Yeah, him, me.
Don't your PCs suck?
It runs it. It runs it just fine, actually.
I imagine the graphics are like of the NES version, though. Like we see like the NES version of the game from the 80s.
Where I really wanted the... So they released as like a thank you to everybody who purchased the game.
Yeah.
NES version of Jason.
Yep.
But it's just a shaded version of Jason.
Yeah.
The normal
but it does
Jason.
Play the music, though.
It does
Which
play
is
the
hilarious
music.
When you hear it coming.
And it's shockingly creepy chase music.
Correct. But it should... I would have liked it much more if it was just all pixelated.
Sure.
Just pixelated Jason, and he just kind of moves. Like, he's got the weird
side
view.
And no matter what
side
of him you're on, you just see him from the front, because it's just got the one. Yeah.
Yep. That would have been great.
He's two-dimensional, so if you're from the side, you don't actually know where you're like, he's there.
No. Maybe yes.
We did play the game for 6 or 7 hours today.
I just rewatched the 2009 Friday the 13th this morning.
You like it a lot more than I do. I don't dislike it. Like, that's a movie there, when I first saw it, I was like, well, I appreciate it, and the first half was amazing, and the second half was okay. And there's some elements that bug me about it, but then as I watch it more over time, I appreciate it more.
That's the one that Zombie did.
He did the Halloween.
Halloween, it's okay.
That one's so frustrating because what makes Michael Myers scary is he's just a regular kid who just suddenly kills people.
Snapped,
and he made Michael Myers this like weird kid from the beginning, so he turns weird, and that's not the point. If you ignore that fact, the movie's actually pretty enjoyable because the guy who plays Michael Myers is like a monstrous guy, and it's actually really cool, except he... That's a movie where the core concept is so broken that nothing else can save the movie, in my opinion.
Yep.
Even though if you took that out, it'd be probably great.
Although later Halloweens retroactively ruined that anyway. Once you get to like Halloween like 4 or 5, it turns out that there's a demon that just inhabited him and he didn't actually snap. There's this whole supernatural element and shit just gets weird.
Well, once
then.
You get to like, well, I mean, that's probably actually, I think, 6 or 7. But
sure.
By that point, you've kind of fallen off the wagon.
Yeah.
1, 2, 4, and the first one with Jamie Lee Curtis, the H2O, are actually enjoyable ones.
Yep.
Those are the four you watch.
I remember seeing H2O in the theater, I think, with you.
Yeah,
actually.
That was surprisingly.
We just rewatched H2O a couple weeks ago as well, and only like 3 people die in that fucking movie. It's like nothing.
Somebody at a rest stop, I think, dies. I remember.
No.
There's a rest stop scene that I remember being entertaining for some odd reason.
A lady and her kid stop to pee, and Michael Myers steals their truck,
Yes, that's what
he just steals the truck. Nobody dies.
Yeah,
yeah. There's only like three or four deaths in that movie, which is crazy. Meanwhile, the 2009 Friday the 13th, you know, because it was a remake of all three movies, and so the first 2 minutes is Friday the 13th Part One, and then the next 20 minutes is Part Two, which means he has to kill a dozen kids because he kills a dozen kids a movie. And when the title for that movie came up, there was an ovation in the theater when I saw it.
The first part of the movie is brilliant. I have no problem with that. And the movie still, to me, ranks in both the middle of the herd. So I don't dislike it. I just don't think it doesn't hold up. And I mean, the 80s movies, some of them, there's just the quality of 80s movie where things just can't quite exceed.
I just admire the 2009 Friday the 13th for being a film. And I had a big thing on my Facebook, but I guess not every one of our listeners is Facebook friends with me, so they wouldn't have necessarily seen this. But it knows what it is and it executes it solidly, and I appreciate that so much.
And it is Michael. It's the guys who did the. It's Mike. I think Michael Bay actually produced it because he produced a whole bunch of horror movies.
And because he produced it, it officially is in the same universe as Transformers. Because the rich asshole in the Friday the 13th is Trent McMarin. McSomething is the name of the character, and that is. Toe Thumbs, what's your name? The love interest from the first couple movies. Yeah.
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox's dickhead boyfriend in the first Transformers movie is that character.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like, not just same name, it's the same actor. It's officially the same character. So those movies are in the same mythos. So Megan Fox dumps him for Shia LaBeouf, and then he goes and takes some friends to a cabin and gets impaled on a truck.
And he cheats on his girlfriend with a very, very hot chick.
So
that is a perfect 10 scene for a few reasons. Whoa.
So if we went to go watch The Last Night, then we might have seen footage from Friday the 13th in it.
What? Oh, yeah, you might have.
Yeah.
That came out. Did it fail? Please tell me it failed.
It is the worst. It's worse than Dark Side of the Moon.
I'm not asking about its Rotten Tomatoes.
Internationally, it's made a bunch of money.
It's going to make a ton of money anyway internationally.
But at least in America, please, no?
I think it's
like The Mummy made like $20 million in America, but it made $200 million overseas because that's how they
do Chinamen shit now. Loved Tom Cruise and The Mummy.
They do.
It did.
The Chinaman is not the issue.
If you don't normally watch their reviews... the half of the bad guys, their review of The Mummy is very different because instead of just reviewing The Mummy, they talk in depth about the concept of Hollywood making films specifically to appeal to the foreign market.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. Like they point out, like a whole lot of The Mummy is just flashback scenes with narration.
Yeah.
Because that way you just hire a narrator from that country and your scene works, right? And you can change plot points to localize it. Like the mummy, instead of being, you know, some evil god from Egypt, when you do it in Taiwan, you can reference their gods. And if you do it, you know, and so on. And so it's this interesting thing that you can't not notice now when a movie is made with the knowledge that it'll bomb here, but they'll make their money over there anyway. What's happening here?
Nothing. Well, it's fine. I was just
don't make my brother a moderator.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
No, but no, it's 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. They don't have the box office out yet. Usually, isn't it later on Sundays?
I have no idea what you asked me. I was reading the
text. When they're showing the top box office, isn't it later?
It's usually middle day Sunday.
We have Transformers 5 opens to franchise low $69 million as of an 8 hour ago article.
Yeah, so it's pretty low.
So, you know.
Someone was talking about, the Friday the 13th, for the Halloween movies, really 1, 2, and then you go to H2O in the official canon. Although 1, 2, I like Halloween 4 a lot.
I'd never really pay attention to the Halloween
films. 3
is actually
cool, but it's not a Halloween movie. 5, it's 1, 2, 4 are all good.
The whole thing with Halloween 3, like it's Halloween 2 that fucked it up.
Yes.
You know?
Because Halloween 2 and 1 should have just been one long movie.
Well, they didn't stick with their guns. I don't know, Andy, how familiar you are with the plan, but when they did the Halloween movies, originally every year they were going to release a movie, and they were going to be not related in the slightest.
Like a monster movie.
A big budget Tales from the Crypt with one episode a year. Okay? So the first one...
They only made two of those, though.
Well, no, I mean like the TV series.
I know.
So the first one they made, Stabby Stabby Guy. And they're like, all right, cool. Now the next one's going to be this company that makes evil masks that possess children. So we'll get going on the script. Wait, Stabby Guy made $1 billion? Let's make another Stabby Guy one for next year. But we're still going to continue with our plan of doing different ones. So they do Stabby Guy number two. Then for the third movie, they go forward with their plan of the evil company that makes child-possessing masks. And people flipped their fucking shit because...
Because they expect
where's Stabby Guy?
They expect, okay.
So then they like, our bad, back to Stabby Guy till the end of time.
And I don't know if when they made one, I thought between one and two, I thought they cut it early so they had some extra foot. I don't know.
I don't know the details.
I forget that as well.
They're never, it originally was going to be a different thing every year. And
sure.
They made the mistake of doing a sequel, but then not committing to a franchise of just Michael Myers. They tried to go back and do both, and just did not fucking work. So people are furious at three.
Yeah, one thing I always find interesting in movies franchises is how much time takes. Like when you watch a movie, like a Friday the 13th, like how much time between one and two? Like one happens, two is like a couple years later, but then like when two ends, three takes like three is like the next day, and four is the next day from it. It's not until you get to like five. Where it jumps years forward and six jumps. Then every one after that is years forward. But it's interesting when you watch two, three, and four. It's basically...
Is 10 right after 9?
Well, technically the beginning part could be. Because
I guess
not,
you're right, yeah.
The beginning part could be right after. I just like the fact that 2, 3, and 4 is basically just one massacre weekend of just murder.
Right. Well, which is how the reboot treated it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Then that's how... Why they were able to just condense it into one film. Well, I guess that's 1, 2, 3, but still.
I'm torn about how Jason lives in part in the remake, but it makes sense, but I still don't know if I like it.
Yeah.
Hmm? But? Well, Jason, it is like they get cave the network.
What?
There's a mine under Camp Crystal Lake, so Jason lives like in this mine in the reboot. You saw the reboot, didn't you?
Nope.
You never seen the reboot?
Nope.
The reboot's worth seeing.
I generally don't watch those films. I only had to watch them by proxy because Brian. I lived with Brian.
I don't find slash effects scary. I find slash effects relaxing. Like, I watch them to relax. That's why I love playing the game. It's so... Like, when I murder eight people, I calm down and things are better in the day. It's just...
They're like comedies. They really are. Like, it's... You have to treat somebody getting a throwing axe to the spine the same way you treat a stooge getting a pie to the face.
I feel like I'm watching wrestling. It's sure. Like if I want to be scared, I'll watch more like the Conjuring 1 or 2, where it's or it's more creep and more intense and atmosphere.
There's no tension in a slasher movie, correct. And that's what a horror movie has
kind
is
of
tension.
Ish.
No,
first time watching it, yeah.
There's no tension as long as you realize that any time a character's looking at something and the camera's up close on them, Jason's behind them.
Yeah.
Then there's no tension because that's the only possible thing that could surprise you in one of these movies.
Sometimes you're like, well, I'm not sure. Like, sometimes you're like, well, I'm not sure how long that character's gonna stay alive. It's a little bit interesting stuff. Like, some characters you know are dead as soon as there gets music, but some characters might live longer. And every so often they trick you, and the different character lives longer. And
yeah,
maybe I should start watching some horror flicks then, or some slasher flicks, because I will say one movie is one of my favorite 3D movies of all time. Because I have like three.
How to Train Your Dragon?
Three movies that I love in 3D. One is Avatar. 3. I actually really liked Avatar in 3D. The other one is Piranha 3D.
Sure.
And the other one is My Bloody Valentine in 3D.
Yeah, sure. My Bloody Valentine 3D.
My Bloody Valentine and the new Jason movie came out in the same year. And both of them starred the people from Supernatural, which is kind of hilarious.
One was in each of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. When he stabs the chick in the head with the shovel and it slides down towards the camera in 3D, that was pretty nice. It was a good use of 3D.
Yes.
When he like does an underchuck thing and hits a midget with a mine and impales her to the ceiling, that's like one of my favorite kills in any movie I've ever seen. It's definitely a top five slasher murder.
Yeah. Oh, you should watch. I'll bring over the Friday the 13th sometime.
Yeah, the 2009 one, yeah. I've seen all the others.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, well, yeah. I've with Brian.
Fair.
I've also seen them fast-forwarded as well, because we had the other story about he was doing all the kill counts.
Yep.
It's fun to watch those movies, because you can see just the brutality of how, like, different, how they treated Jason, like, before part 6, where he was much more, they always say how Jason walks slow in the woods and gets, like, parts like 3 and 4, he's very aggressive, very fast.
When he was a human.
Yeah, he's running around, and it's actually scary to see Jason, like, running at you. Because in the 6 plus, it's all zombie Jason, so he's walking at a slow to brisk pace. But at 4, when he's running at you, it's like, holy fuck, that's actually kind of fucking creepy.
This dude with a machete running full tilt, like this 7-foot tall, just beast of a man, is going to chop you fucking in half. And that's... Well, it's funny, like a coworker of mine is he's a big fan of the Jason movies, and his fiance had never seen them, so he's watching all of them with her, and she knew Pamela Voorhees was the first one. Yeah. Like, that obviously is wide enough known that Jason Voorhees is not the killer in the first one, but she was really confused who the fuck the guy with the sack on his head was in the second one. I mean, that's the interesting trivia is what's the first movie where a hockey mask wearing guy named Jason Voorhees is? And like people know the Pamela, but they would not go to Friday the 13th Part 3.
In 3D.
God, your trail to hell. I still say, though, Jason X is...
That's a fun movie.
Fucking amazing film. I love that movie so much.
That movie also angry at the hologram. He's so angry at the hologram.
Yeah. That movie grew on me, too. I didn't appreciate it the first time I saw it.
I think it's a cult classic. I think it's up there in cult status.
It's the worst one is Part 9 because you don't see Jason 90% of the movie, which is the whole point of seeing it.
Oh, that's Ghost Jason, isn't
it? Ghost Jason. I will say that movie is surprisingly violently. I mean, that movie, some of the kills in that movie are as grotesque and imaginative as any movie they've ever done.
They're just not Jason.
It's just it's not Jason.
That was the scene where Jason just shows up, takes a look at the Necronomicon for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
For like a couple, just flips through it and then walks off.
He's like, ah, dumb book.
But that's not the one with Corey Feldman, right? No, that's five or something. Four?
Four is him as a kid, and then five is another actor playing him in an insane asylum, because if you survive Jason, you're probably going insane.
Yeah.
And then part six, that same character, when he's older, is coming back and accidentally, he goes to like burn Jason's body and of course accidentally resurrects him.
Yeah.
That movie has a lot of Alice Cooper in it, too. That's probably considered the most popular and fun of the movies.
Seven?
Part six is the most.
Or six?
It's part six.
Seven is He Lives, isn't it? Or Jason?
Jason, no, six is He Lives.
Oh.
If you took a vote of like 100 people, part six would probably come out as the most popular.
Not Manhattan? Jason Takes Manhattan.
That's a charm to it. It's just the fact that they didn't have a budget. Because when he's in Manhattan, it is amazing. It's just like for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
It should have been Jason on a boat with a pit stop in New York.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, we need to film in Manhattan. That costs money.
Oh, well. Fun movies. Yeah, that's the thing. You got to like slasher movies.
I actually like Jason versus Freddy a lot.
Yeah,
some people don't, but that's another movie that knows what the fuck it is.
Yes,
that movie when they actually let them fight for a good like 20 minutes. That was not like a holding back. They just gave them like a whole segment.
Man, that goalie was pissed.
the first sequence in that too, where he shows up at the cornfield with all the kids.
That goalie was pissed. When they escaped from that one, the stoner's like, man, that goalie was pissed.
Yeah.
You have to give mouth to mouth to Jason.
I guess I don't like the Freddy films that much. They're more of the jump scare type tension type ones.
The first two are tried to be that way, but then they turn more into just goofiness. They really tilt to the comedy.
So like the only ones I really remember is I remember like one and two, and then New Nightmare, I guess, is the other one.
One and two are pretty straight horror. Three, I think, you almost universally consider the best of them.
Yeah.
And it balances really well the comedy with the horror. It manages to have both. And then Dream Warriors. These kids that they train, they're going to learn how to fight in their dreams so they can fight Freddy. And that does not go well. And then from four on, it went more schlocky.
Yeah. Has some good moments here and there, but overall, just subpar.
Yeah. But he had some clever kills. One of my favorites is there's the girl who's scared of bugs. And so the obvious thing you do with her is just have like some bugs eat her or have her get swarmed, or whatever. But that's too obvious. So instead, Freddy makes her turn into a bug and kills her with a roach motel. That's clever. Good job, Freddy.
Yeah, they do some pretty good kills. I mean, because it's in dreams, he's really able to really... I mean, they kind of get some freebies as far as creativity. But you are right. They do go in some interesting directions.
Yeah.
Which helps.
Good times.
A lot of horror talk.
It's okay. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
He just wanted his machete.
Well, I mean, what are we supposed to talk about? 8th edition 40K?
Yeah, that's a thing that's happening. People are enjoying it.
Good for them.
I have yet to play it. Nathan and I were going to have our game eventually. I don't know when, but eventually.
My Tyranids. Good old
my Necrons are going to kick ass.
And Termagants. Are Termagants still a thing?
I don't know.
I didn't have a lot of Gene Stealers because the set I came with didn't have Gene Stealers. Mm-hmm. So I know that Gene Stealers are supposed to be like the mainstay of Tyranid armies, but I just didn't have very many. I had more of the actual like insect things. True story.
I had a ton of Tau, basically. That was...
Towels?
Tau. Tau.
Don't forget to bring a Tau.
Recommendations, Zappity
Grumbles. Zappity Grumbles?
I'm sure we do. There was some chit. Brian was talking. I assume it was Brian who was talking to somebody on the Zappity Grumble thread.
Well,
about
one of them. One of them was an. I'll sneak ahead. He asked if we ever played a game in like Metro 2033. There's like three or four Metro games. I think there's three Metro games.
Yeah,
they're all Russian based. I think they're great. I mentioned last week about the motion sickness. The Metro games don't give me the sickness, but they almost do. So it's a weird, like, just on the verge of making me feel ill, but not.
Get up. Get down with the sickness.
That video of showing of the new, like, the 4K presentation of Metro.
Yeah.
I think it was at E3 or somewhere around then, last couple of weeks, looks goddamn amazing. It looks like what I would expect out of a post-apocalyptic world. Yeah. Not like Mad Max Desolation Waste.
Yeah.
It just looks like it's a lived-in world that just got overgrown by nature.
Well, and that's what Metro. I mean, the fact that it's based out of Russia, which is cool. So everyone's speaking Russian. And the thing was, you know, when you listen to a game in its native language where it has subtitles. So like playing that game through instead of having the English, instead of someone talking English, it's all talking in Russian with subtitles could be interesting. I think it would add the feel to the game because those games are already pretty cool. And they're already I love story driven first person shooter games. I'm a sucker for and those games.
Is there a Polish vocal track for the Witcher games?
I don't know. That'd be kind of interesting too.
Like that, I would do because those games are oppressively Polish.
I might play. I'm thinking about doing The Witcher 3 again, and I've only put 100 hours into it. I'm thinking of doing it again and then doing all the DLCs with the replay through. But my God, that's like 150 hours. I just need like find 150 free hours and go do that. But yeah, no, that was a cool zappity about when you play a game in its core setting. So
I don't know that I've played many games that weren't English. Predominantly,
yeah. I mean, because that's what they always do for us. They, you know,
the only time that I would ever even think about playing a game like that was like like an import from Japan. Like I had a wrestling game that was imported from Japan that I had to go through. It was a wrestling game that allowed you to go and rename everything.
Yeah.
And so that I had to buy a guide, or not buy a guide. I downloaded a guide online to go and rename everything into the game, all English.
Oh, you know what? I'm a big fan. They're cheesy, and every single one is exactly the same, but I don't care because I have fun playing them, is Dynasty Warriors. And, yeah, the Dynasty Warriors ones that have the – I always play them with the Japanese track just because – Yeah, I mean,
because really, what you're Asian do is
people
you
stabbing
want,
each other. Also, the English people tend to suck in those.
And you want to swing your sword and hit as many people as possible, so the language is pretty irrelevant for that.
Yes,
you're just a spinning whirlwind of death, or an army of people.
Yeah, the voice is irrelevant, and it feels even though the games are in China, so it's actually no more accurate to have Japanese voices than have English voices because it should be Chinese voices of everything. But it's irrelevant, and the English tracks tended to be terrible. And because I'm a terrible white person, Japanese sounds more like Chinese than English does. So. Mm. Those I play with the Japanese track.
That's a good feel that the Shadows of Mordor game got was you versus an army. And that's just a fun feel when you're able to do that.
That game's okay, but is it worth $4?
Is that what it's on right now?
It's $4. Yeah. Four goddamn dollars, Brian.
I think this last month, man, was that first-person game I just played? It's not the company that does all the Walking Deads. It's the other games I really like that were on the PlayStation game of the... It's like a two girls and it's like chapter based.
The Beyond Two or the
I can't think of the name of this game. Suddenly, part they're coming out with a sequel to a prequel to it.
Life is Strange.
Life is Strange is such a beautifully engrossing. I think it's near free, and it's not made by Telltale, but man,
it's currently free on your PlayStation.
Yeah.
So if you have a PS4, although it gets pretty old, me every month saying whatever's free on the PlayStation, you should download.
I mean, if you haven't gotten Borderlands yet, you should already have killed yourself.
Yeah.
So if you survive
Borderlands 2.
Yeah. Borderlands
Tales from Borderlands.
Oh yeah, yes.
So if you've listened to us and you played it, good job. Now Life is Strange is your next requirement to play.
When Reese like jumps on the bandit's back and he's trying to choke him and the guy's like just shit talking him because he thinks he's his buddy joking around with him. That's one of the best fucking scenes. True story.
I was mean to Loaderbot when I first started that
you
game.
You son of a bitch! How can you be mean to... Did you tell him to self-destruct?
I did.
I hate you.
It took a long time for him to forgive me because he was a dick to me for a while. Which
you
he should.
Suck.
Yeah. I didn't realize he'd be the greatest character in the history of the world at that point in the game. I just thought he was some generic Loaderbot. I didn't realize he was Loaderbot.
Capital L.
Yeah. I mean, that was my bad.
Did you at least buy him a tuxedo or zebra stripe? Not zebra stripes, leopard print.
I don't know how nice I was them for the outfits. I know I didn't save enough to get the one hidden character.
You couldn't hire the most powerful mercenary in the planet with saving up enough money.
But I still got the achievement for getting the right combination. But yeah,
good.
And the one guy was dead, so I couldn't hire him.
Yeah, I killed that guy.
Well, he deserved it. I don't care what they say.
Yeah. If I'd known that not killing him would have gotten me more stuff, maybe I wouldn't have killed him.
Even when I replayed, I still might kill him.
That's a valid counterpoint. Like, I'll replay and I'll plan to save him, and I'll get to that point. I'm like, you know what? No, fuck it. Shoot him in the neck.
Yeah. I mean, he's a, you know, sometimes you do shit, you deserve, you know, you earn it. Right, Andy? So Life is Strange. Get that too. It's a pre-recommendation. I recommended the game before because it's just phenomenal. That's a game where I think towards the end it gives you a choice, A or B, and you're like, fuck you, game. Just fuck you.
Yeah.
Turn it off my computer. I'm not making this choice.
Can I choose A, B?
Yeah.
Or C?
Yeah.
Are you looking for more ones up there? There's more ones up there.
There's only two of them that I saw in the chat here. There's a, you know, what force are you starting up for 8th edition 40K? I'm not.
If I ever got back into 40K, I would play Tyranids again.
I would probably play Necrons. Either that or Nurgle Marines.
Nurgle. Chaos is fun. Chaos would be my second choice.
I like the look of Nurgle itself. I like the...
You're not supposed to like the look of Nurgle.
Yeah. So juicy.
I mean, you might say that to Slaanesh.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's some pros and cons there.
Yeah, but I mean, so I like...
It's hard to pick an Elder God, though.
I like Plague Marines. They're
all good. I want the guy with all the boils on his face.
I like Plague Marines. I like the Great Unclean One. I like all the demons that are associated with them. I like the decay of that
world. I'd have to play Orcs. That's just...
Yeah, Orcs are...
But I would never yell at Wah.
No. That's the problem with playing Orcs is that you're an Orc player.
Yeah. That is the biggest problem of Orcs are the players.
Like, we get it. You yelled Wog. Stop it.
Yeah.
Orcs do have some of the best backstory for them, too. Because all they are is just pod people.
Well, and all of their technology, fungus. They're actually magical. Their technology doesn't work. They just believe it so hard that it does. That's so clever to me. I love that.
Yeah.
I also love a Mr. Potato Head Smasher, the Stomper.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite conversions ever, is the guy that made an orc stomp out of a Mr. Potato Head. You saw that, didn't you, Andy?
No, I'll probably
find pictures. You need
okay.
to see this.
Yeah, which is any of the stompers is great. Yeah, all their technology, all their vehicles, they just look awesome. That's why Gorkum Morka could have been probably like one of the greatest games ever made, but instead they were bogged down in useless rules instead of giving us Mad Max with orcs.
Gorkum Morka rule set was why Confrontation always failed.
Okay, Andy. This is more awesome than you can possibly imagine. So you need to prepare yourself, and you're still not prepared.
I looked at it and immediately farted. My body couldn't handle it.
Look at that shit.
Look at it. Look at it, internet. Look at what we found.
Look at the glory. Just Google Mr. Potato Head Stompa. That's the first picture. There's a whole build article where he goes down part by part. It's astounding.
I love the bowler hat.
It's got a bowler hat on. The hatch that Mr. Potato Head has that you put the parts in is actually used as an entry hatch for the Stompa. It's wearing the shoe. It's amazing. Like, that's up there with, like, the Muppet Pharaoh team that the guy did. And yeah.
That is amazing. I appreciate that a lot.
You know, that should be, like, tournament legal.
It is.
That is tournament legal.
Yeah.
So much better than that stupid thing.
No, all Stompas look amazing.
Nope.
There's just layers of awesomeness. The Potato Head one is on the top, but there are all good Stompas.
Yep.
Yeah. There's not a bad Stompa out there.
Fair.
The original Stompas were all just trash cans.
Oh, look, a second Mr. Potato Head Stompa. It started a trend.
Nice. Well, the original ones were like just trash cans with like arms with claws and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I don't really have much else other than...
The Preacher starts tonight. I mentioned that earlier. I'm very excited for The Preacher. I like season one, even though it was a little weird. I just liked the show. I thought that's a show that captured the feel of the comic with being, well, still being a little bit different, but still got the concept right.
Right. And that's what you need to do, because when you try to actually just tell the same story, yeah. you'll almost always fail.
Well, and it gets, I mean, as much as you want to, when you make something from a book or from a comic and you make it exact, even the people who've seen it, it's fun to watch a certain scene play out the way you always wanted to, but it's still nice to see a little bit of a difference to a little bit of just a creativity. You still want you want all the core concepts to be right, but the execution can be just a little bit different here or there.
Yep.
That first fight scene that I really remember that made me really love the show was the Angel fight scene in the hotel room.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in the because I never read any of the comics. Well,
there's definitely a thing with angels, and now that they have the Saint of Killers involved, and there's someone's family I really, really want involved. There's so that comic is just filled with 1,000 side characters of just bizarreness.
So now every episode is out. Have either of you gotten around to watching American Gods?
When I get Stars, I'm going to watch that and Black Sails. I'm gonna go okay. on like I have a whole binge session prepared for myself. I'm just.
Because that's along the same lines of something that gets the feel, but is different enough.
How far, and like, true to itself? Obviously, the book is just a book. How far of the season one is it? Does it go like a quarter of the book, kind of? Is it just, or is it just such a weird different
take? It's such different take, I can't give you a percentage through. Like, it's very different.
That's a book that for me, like, I thought the book was neat, but I don't appreciate that author as much as other people do.
Sure.
And other people worship him, and I think it's well written and he's interesting, but I don't really, you know.
I don't worship him, but I know that I'm going to almost always enjoy anything he puts out.
Yeah.
You know what
Which
I mean?
Is nice.
So like
yeah.
he's a safe buy, but yeah. I'm not gonna get tattoos of his work or anything like yeah. that. They went completely off the story.
Sure.
Like, it's, if I had to say anything, it's maybe a quarter of the way through the book, because something that happens a quarter of the way through the book hasn't happened, and that's the one thing in the book that they're still building towards, because mm-hmm. a scene in the book happens at the House on the Rock.
Sure, yep.
And they haven't yet got into the House on the Rock.
Gotcha.
So that's the only thing still anchoring it. Like, it's so off the rails otherwise.
Gotcha.
Which is good. Like, and so they knew that. They're like characters that died early on are yeah. still in it and kicking, and you know, it's.
And sometimes when you got a show, you want. Yeah, I can see that. I can see them doing that.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember Mad Sweeney in the book, but he's a bit character who's in it for like 2 chapters,
yeah.
And then he's gone, and he's one of the main characters in the show. In fact, there are episodes without. The main character, and so Shadow Moon's the main character, yeah. and then Mr. Wednesday, Ian McShane's character. There's an episode that neither of them are in that focuses almost entirely on Mad Sweeney and instead, and because they're like, this guy's fucking amazing, and this actor's amazing, and this character's amazing. So
yeah, it's cool. When you get a character who can embrace a role, you just let him go for a little bit and see what happens.
Yep. He's apparently, I don't know how true it is because I saw it on like a clickbaity thing on Facebook, but somebody said that actor was talking about trying to reboot the Wolverine franchise.
Sure.
I didn't even bother reading the article, but I assume that it was with him as Logan.
Speaking of good actors, actresses, Carrie Coon, who was in The Leftovers,
yep.
was also in Fargo. She's going to probably go up against herself for Emmys for both shows because she is an actress who just did like some stage stuff in like the Midwest. Then they just put her on Leftovers, and then like she became season one. She was a main character, but she was a lesser show and main character. And then she just took over season 2 and 3. And Fargo season 3 is just her powerhouse in the. Well, it's an ensemble, but still, she's great in that.
Have to watch that soon.
So now she'll be. I think she's going to go against herself in the Emmys for, and she better win because both shows she just blew it away.
They should. Can they do that? Will they nominate her for both shows?
Yeah.
Can they do that sometimes?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it should be a tie. Carrie Coon should tie herself.
And get 2 Emmys.
Show. Yes. So in The Leftovers, one of the gimmicks is like she censors don't see her. So she'll go in front of an automatic door and won't see her. Things won't, you know. And then in Fargo, her character has the same flaw. And the writers of Fargo didn't know that about her characters from The Leftovers. So she's like, well, I guess you didn't watch my show, did you? Because, you know, they weren't the ones who hired her. But yeah, but in both shows, her character has a problem with that, which is just bizarre. She thought it was really bizarre, and she didn't mention it until it was all done. Like she just let it go the whole show and didn't say anything.
Well, you would just assume that they did that on purpose. Yeah. Like, you would think it was a reference.
Yeah, but they had no clue.
Weird.
Yeah.
I just realized that our sound is probably going over Twitch really loudly.
Well, whatever. They have volume knobs on their computer. Fuck them.
Yeah, I mean, Gonzo or Art a Culture. Art a Culture.
What? Culture? What?
I just mispronounced Art a Circle's name.
Arctic Circle and Gornis 78 and Non-Euclidean Nick. Moustakrakish 1234. He hasn't talked in a while. I miss him. Come back, Moustakrakish 1234.
Come back to us. So you know that Twitch Prime thing that Non-Euclidean Nick has? I didn't realize I have a Twitch Prime membership too because I have Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, you just get Twitch Prime for free.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
And it gets rid of the commercials in Prime, so now I don't have to. I can watch Twitch without commercials.
I just don't watch Twitch.
Well, I don't watch a lot of Twitch either because I don't care that much. But it was nice to know that when I do now, I don't have any commercials to worry about.
I did attach the crippled system to my Twitch Prime because I'm running it here all the time anyway. So
fair.
Very exciting. It's a very exciting Twitch / Prime story. But I'm gonna watch Black Sails soon and American Gods soon. That's my by the end of July, I should have watched both those shows. It is my goal. Assuming my work doesn't kill me, because my work is trying to kill me. I have made a terrible mistake, and I've become useful in this one project, and this project is way too popular in the company. And I try to stay under the radar. It's really my place to be, and I'm currently on radar of too many people, so I need to like get this project over with and just back away, because I don't like to be this responsible. It's just not my style.
No.
It's terrible.
You just want to coast.
Yeah. And I have to like work longer hours. Fuck and it's like that. Way too many managers involved. And I was like, oh my God.
Bullshit. You only went to Chipotle once last week.
I went to Chipotle once in like the last 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
My lunches have sucked.
You might as well be dead.
Yeah. I know. It's a rough, rough time. But I don't know. No more Zappy. Any recommendations? I've been skewing recommendations all episode. It's been my style. This
no,
week.
That's fine.
Well, that's fine. So my recommendation is something Brian previously recommended. That's really good. It's not a recommendation so much because I haven't done much new in the last week, so I didn't have one. But the Steam sale is going on, and Halcyon 6 is like a nickel, and Brian recommended that previously.
It's a fun game.
I mean, FTL plus XCOM. Like, those are two amazing things, and then you put a plus in between them, and you sell it for $10. Just buy the fucking thing. And I don't remember if I pre-recommended it last week or not, but the Crimson Court expansion came out for Darkest Dungeon. Mm. And fuck that expansion, which is the highest praise I can give to an expansion to a roguelike. Like, it gives your characters the vampiric disease, and then like your town gets infested, and you have to go kill vampires, and everything's terrible. Which is great.
There's another Steam game. It's not Halcyon 6. It's a Steam game where they do all these games now. It's like it where you basically you start off on a planet and you're like you're just a dude and you have to go like mine some rocks.
Oxygen not included?
No. It's okay. Like you basically build a little fort and then people wander around and you add them to your clan and you kind of I recommended it a while ago, but it's like
Rust in space.
It's kind of it's like pixelated. It's like it's top down.
Oh, okay.
And it's like super layered because like when you build something, there's like 8 layers you need to think about because you can power things, but then the power things need these resources. It's like layer upon layer upon layer. And I watched hours of videos on how to play it, and I had fun. But sometimes I'm like, I just want a game like that that's like a few layers less.
Right.
And there's like this phone app called, Last Day on Earth Survive. And it's kind of like that where you run around and you collect goods and you build stuff, but instead of going 20 layers deep, it goes like 6 layers deep. So it's just kind of what I've been enjoying more is just not quite the full-blown insanity, which can be fun. But to play a game like that, when you go to 20 layers deep, I have to like stop playing other games and just focus on that game. And so I liked it a little bit slightly less.
How good is your computer, Nate?
It's all right. I bought a new laptop that was supposed to be pretty damn good. It's like an i7 processor and like 8 gigs RAM, and it has a dedicated video RAM card, and all the stats are good. But then I put Skyrim on it, and it looked shitty. But it's running; it can run like it was running BioShock Infinite, all right. But for some reason, Skyrim had like screen tearing and everything. So I'm confused. I have to look
we
into
should
it.
We should look into seeing if we can get all 4 of us or 3 of us to play PlayerUnknown's Battleground. Have you guys heard of
that? I have seen people playing it on Steam while I'm... Because I'm 107 hours on Friday Seconds, but I've seen people play the Battlegrounds Unknown.
So the PlayerUnknown Battleground, it's basically... It's Hunger Games. So you each have a character. You're kind of dropped into a zone.
Yep.
And scrounge for equipment. And
there's the Culling as well.
This is the newer version. It's been pretty popular. I've seen a lot of people playing it, but the whole idea is if you go into a game together, you go in as a team.
Sure.
So then you communicate with each other and then fight through, and that's you cool. end up being the top of the leaderboards at the end, and you know, you get more gold.
That's kind of neat.
Kind of like in the other worlds, it shrinks down as it goes on.
Sure.
So you have to everyone has to, you can't just hide out in a house sure. unless you're in the middle of the map, you know.
But then you're not really hiding. People correct. Will find you there.
Did Arctic Circle is asking if we missed a Zappity?
I think I saw it. I thought we talked about it in a way. Well,
while you're looking, there's a question for Brian, which is, which expansion do you recommend, if any, to make Cthulhu Wars worth playing?
Well,
although that implies it's not already worth playing.
Yeah, Cthulhu Wars is... Well, the thing with Cthulhu Wars is you have the core game, which has four factions, and then there are four no more factions out, which I think you for the variety, you want to get all four of the factions. And then there are four map expansions, and really, they're all varying degrees of difficulty. You want to play Cthulhu Wars 2 to 3 times before you jump to the map, then any map would be fine. So just pick one map.
They're just tied. Like, I don't think one of them stands out above the rest.
There are complexities, but if you play a couple games, it doesn't matter. And then there are a couple expansions that are just new, great old ones you can get. And those are kind of neat. But some of the expansions, which I like more, would be just ones that are monster packs, where they have, like, 4 or 5 monsters that you can put into the game. I'd buy a couple of those monster packs. So I'd go with the factions first, maybe a different board, and then some of the monsters, and then work your way to the Elder Gods and stuff like that.
So Jim had asked, I did accidentally skip this over. I thought we covered it a little bit.
Because he followed, I know you were just starting that, but he follow-up question about that. So we will stress, the base is worth it by itself.
Yes. The base, you can only play 4 players.
But you could get by with no expansion, and it's a perfectly good game.
Or buy one of the five things that you can play with it, because the core game can go up to 5. So you could buy one race, and then you can play up to 5 players.
Yeah.
And I will say this about that game, and Nathan will agree with me. When you play Cthulhu War, the hard thing about Cthulhu Wars is every faction has a strength and weakness, and when you play the games, if you know faction A has a certain strength, you can never let them have that strength or they will roll you. Every faction in that game is all about constantly fucking over each other, and as soon as someone doesn't attack someone else, it just falls apart.
Yeah, my last 2 games I played, I won devastatingly, and both times it was just because nobody attacked me. I just like sat and actually the second one, Brian wiped me off the face of the earth, but that's because nobody else was doing it, so he had to, but it was too late by then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a game, you cannot ignore each other in that game. You have to smash face.
Well, I couldn't actually smash face in that either, because my whole faction was all about building portals, and all the portals were freezing over.
Yeah, you did get kind of screwed in that map.
But it's fine. I mean, it's also, I didn't know that's what that faction did either, so... Yeah.
And we're playing a game. We're playing the same group every so often. So like our group, I think, will get better at that. But if you sit down, I think that game is a learning curve, because that certain faction, you go, man, that faction's really good. Well, if you deal with it, it's not that good. It's just a constant evolution. Because I played the week you weren't there, I played and I rolled with a faction because it was the same concept. It wasn't enough counterbalancing.
Yep.
And some people feel like... It's just some factions you can't like get ahead of things. And sometimes some factions make a move on turn one that's aggressive, you might have to put your foot on the throat for the entire game. That player made a choice to try that strategy, and now the only proper response is to just eliminate them from the game on turn two.
Like, I could not complain when you wiped me off the map.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been the most bullshit thing for me to be like, oh, what the hell? Because, I mean... You had to, right? And so a player who takes a faction like that and they're like, my first move is to do this thing that now I win if you don't immediately murder me, can't complain if you immediately murder me.
In some games, some people don't want to be aggressive against each other, and that's fine. But if you play Cthulhu Wars, you got to realize constant aggression, constant counterplay, and you just got to take... And the game is fast enough. It's maybe a 90-minute to 2-hour game at most. So it's not like a 6-hour game where you're being stomped. It's going to be over in 90 minutes. It should be fast. Just fast, brutal, and just don't hold back.
It could go on for a very long time if nobody does any rituals or just sits around building power.
Certain factions will win that way. There are certain factions where if you just dwiddle, certain factions are going to just naturally grow in insanity really good.
And because when you first set it up, it might look like it's going to be a long war game, but it's not. It's fast, like you said, 1 to 2 hours. I would say to rewind. You're right. The races first and maps. It feels to me like if you were going to completely not buy a section of the expansions, the additional monster packs and extra old gods feel the most tacked on.
They could be. You could wait the longest on those.
They are an element that is neat, but feels like an added element that is neat, as opposed to being a new integral part of the game that, because I bought it, matters.
So how many extra races are there? Is there
three? There's four, you get four in the box, and you can buy up to four more. There's a ninth neutral faction, which are kind of like monsters, but you actually can... I haven't used it yet, but you can literally take their neutral spellbooks and replace one of your spellbooks with them, which is kind of a cool concept. But yeah, I would go with, you know, the playable factions and maps first.
Cool. And then you found Arctic Circles.
Yeah. I could swear I thought we actually touched on it, so I didn't actually pass it on. I forgot that we actually touched on Enjoy's post instead. So what is your favorite intellectual property?
Oh, yes.
In concept, execution doesn't matter here. For example, if you like the concept behind Dresden Files but hate the writing.
A terrible example.
It is a tip.
Yeah. I'm wearing my T-Rex shirt with butters.
He says you shouldn't drive and go kill him right now.
I'm excited because when John Wick came out, I said, you know what? I don't need any more John Wick, but I want a television series based on the Continental because this is world building at its best.
You and I saw that. Together, didn't we see John Wick 2 together?
We all three were.
We saw John Wick 2 together. The original one, I don't think. No, the original one I saw with none of you guys. But I was like, I want a TV series based on the Continental because they have given me this interesting world, and I want stories in it. And so I'm super fucking excited that they've announced they're doing exactly that.
I don't know if this will work in the sense of what he's trying to talk about here, but it's something that I wish was not Warehouse 3.
Well, I mean, that's a it's like Friday the 13th, the series, to tie in with the previous one. It's like, here's a gadget of the week.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing. I mean, that's just, you know, there's magic gadgets.
There are some really cool. Yeah, well, I mean, let you guys.
So the thing I wanted to say is
is that the same Rancor?
I put it down for an hour.
But it's literally the same Rancor, or are you fighting a different Rancor?
No, I got it down to 10% and I left it alone. I don't want to I can't finish the raid until 7:30.
Oh.
I was preloading the raid.
All right, so to say what I was talking about, I don't know if it really fits into what he's discussing here, but you remember Scene Wanted?
Yeah.
The kid's dad, the guy with the really cool accent, you see him at the very beginning of the film and then blows up, I believe.
Sure.
I wanted a movie about him. I thought a movie specifically about him would have been... Actually, we already discussed this. Hold on. Last Action Hero. I thought if the movie was about just a Jack Slater movie, that would have been perfect. But anyway, I do want a movie made of Wanted of that original character because he was much cooler than stupid. Was it James McAvoy, wasn't it? Was that James McAvoy?
It might have been. I don't know.
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
There are some cool concept movies where the movie is bad, but the idea is cool. Man, I can't. When he posted this a couple hours ago, and I'm like, man, there are like... There's at least three or four movies that I saw that were terrible movies, but the idea behind them were amazing, and I have not been able to think of any single one of them.
It's more like not even just the idea, but like the setting. Yeah. That's more he's at, you know, the
setting or concept.
The location. Yeah.
Like, I Am Number 6 is almost a kind of neat example where the concept is cool, but the movie's terrible.
That was terrible.
The girl was hot, but the movie, but the concept.
Yeah, and she shows up with 10 minutes left in the film, and it's like, where the fuck was she the whole rest of the movie?
But there's kind of a neat concept that's poorly executed.
Yeah, or another similar one, poor, blah, blah, words and talk, mouth weird bad, Jupiter Ascending.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of those.
Even not the last Witch Hunter, but the other one, Seventh Son.
A lot of sci-fi and fantasy movies that fail miserably and terrible at least have cool ideas. Like, a lot of times they try too hard, and because they try too hard and they get bogged down with all this shit, and you're like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
If you had a wider time to explain that stuff, it could be interesting. Like, fuck, it might be super interesting if there was a TV series that was 50 hours total so you had time to stretch it out as opposed to shoving it down my throat in an hour of, like, Lady in the Water.
Yeah.
Like, the problem with Lady in the Water is that he takes a television series story arc's worth of concepts, crams them down in way too quick of time so you have no idea what the fuck's going on, and then the movie blows. Like, if there's a lot of meat there, you know, if you got to digest it at a slower rate.
Oh, a TV show that I think would be amazing And it could happen eventually, is Enemy Mine.
Can you, first of all, that movie's great. Second, can you kick Moose to Crackish 1234 from the chat? Because he says Dresden Files is shit, and yeah, I want him to die.
No, that's fine.
Okay. I was just checking if that's a thing you can do.
No, I'll probably just make him admin. So that's you know, it's probably how it works there. No, but Enemy Mine. So I love that movie. The movie is great. And it basically takes place at the very end of
the war.
The Drakish, the Drax in the human war. Having a movie that takes place or a television series that happens during that war would be awesome. I mean, it would be, you can go Battlestar Galactica style in it. It would just be, I think it would be awesome. It doesn't have to have any kind of marooning and befriending of a small boy.
You know, there, I was looking at trivia about Enemy Mine. Reign of Fire, sure.
That's a good example.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Some AV Club article series, but it wasn't like my year. I think it was like looking at like whether these semi-obscure movies are treasures or deserve to be forgotten or whatever. And they did one of the recent ones was about Enemy Mine, and he talked about it and everything. And they mentioned that the whole sequence with the son being forced to work in a literal mine was because the studio was afraid people wouldn't understand the title. So they put a mine in it so that there would actually be an enemy mine because they didn't think people would understand that enemy mine meant my enemy.
Oh, I never really put a thought process behind the title. I never really thought of it. I just thought it was just enemy mine.
Which version of mine? Mine is in the possessive, or mine is in where people dig ore?
Never even thought about
mime. An enemy mime.
Yes.
Yes.
The deadliest mime.
He's got us trapped in a box, and there's too much wind.
The cool thing about Reign of Fire, the movie, by the way, was written by people from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I did not know that. That was actually a really cool idea of like the how dragons feed off of ash and stuff. And Matthew McConaughey jumping off with a battle axe.
Yeah. McConaughey's great in that movie. He's so ridiculous. It's amazing.
Yay. Yep.
But yeah, so that's a good question, and there's actually better answers. Like I'm out there, I just can't think of any of them.
Yeah,
my life.
Yeah, Theodore Rex with Whoopi Goldberg. No.
Hey,
the Super Mario Brothers movie.
No, what? Where are you going? No,
what's happening right now?
No, Iron Sky either. No. Just bad. I know I'm referring to answering people in the chat.
Iron Sky is great. Speaking of movies that know what they are.
It is a movie that knows exactly what it is, and it is just filled with schlock.
I will never hate a movie that's honest about what it is.
We need to watch again that Uwe Boll film.
Oh, Blubberella?
Yeah, we need to watch that again.
With a random fish costume?
We need to finish watching that so I can understand it. We need to pain train that. Because I don't think we even finished watching it. I think we got like 20 minutes in before we were like, what? Fish guy? Going to concentration camp? What?
Yeah. That was a hell of a thing.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, recommendations.
Yeah, the Steam sale's going on, and there's good shit on there. Like
Wolfenstein, the New Order is on sale for $10 right now.
So your Halcyon 6 is on there. I'm sure Papers, Please and FTL are on sale because they're always on sale. Mordor is $4. Like, there's a million games that we've recommended, and they're all a nickel.
Yeah. Spend your nickels!
Do you know who Triceracop is?
Tammy and the T-Rex?
No, do you know who Triceracop is?
Is that like Axe Cop?
Nope. Triceracop is the partner of...
Like Horse Ninja?
No! Is of Kung Fury.
Oh, fuck Kung Fury.
What?
Fuck Kung Fury.
What?
Shitty ripoff of Danger 5. It even blatantly rips off the person shooting through the gun at the people on the other end. That's from Danger 5, Season 1.
That's fine.
That's fine, but Kung Fury, fuck Kung Fury. It's a shitty ripoff of Danger 5, and it tries too hard.
It's a better ripoff.
You son of a bitch!
It is.
I have no strong feelings in this one. I'm going to let that one go.
I'm fine with it. It's only a half hour of stupidness.
That's my recommendation, letting things go.
Never!
not just, you're a lost cause.
That's true.
Or just letting too many things happen at game stores where someone says something and the person next to them has to counterpoint them or say, you know what? I like X, and the person next to them, I'm pointing at Nathan now, but I don't know. I mean, the theoretical Nathans out there say why they don't like it. I mean, I get that's what we do on the internet all the time because we're bored, and you should do that on the internet for boredom. But in real life, when someone says, hey, I like X, you can go, okay, and then you can just move on with your day. You don't always have to say, well, actually, X is stupid. And I think our community has...
But what if X is stupid?
You know what? Maybe X is stupid, but it's just not worth having.
But they're not allowed to like it. It's stupid. I'm confused.
Just let it go. People can let things go. Now, if you're online, you can write a nice little paragraph on why they're wrong, and that's acceptable and expected. Yeah. It's almost required on the internet. But in person, you can be like, okay. Unless they say John Wick is dumb, and then you're allowed to. You know, there's a few, like, five or six things you can't let go. But the majority of things you can let go.
Sometimes opinions are wrong, but it's a lot less often than people think.
Yes.
All right, so my recommendation is a very soft recommendation. I was slightly mildly amused at The Mist, the new TV series that's on Spike.
Oh, is that out now?
Yeah, the first episode.
Speaking
just showed
of cool locations in a storyline. The Mist.
Yeah.
I mean, it ties in with the previous thing.
Yeah, this one is a little bit different. There's multiple locations with multiple groups of people that happen in
there.
The
world, I'm not talking about the supermarket itself. I'm talking about the world being overwhelmed by the mist.
Correct.
Speaking of a neat location for more stories. Because, yeah. As you said, you know, more stories than just that one.
Yeah, it's at least I was entertained by the first episode. I got to see something happen to a very unpopular character that was in the movie version. I don't know. I've never read the book, so I don't know what happens during the book.
Short story. I mean,
there's like nothing in the
book. I really enjoy the remake they did a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, the movie's really good.
Yeah, I really like the movie a lot.
And I like and this is one where they specifically said they're going to take a different approach because the movie did everything you could with monsters, so they're not going to just try to double down on that. Which is probably a smart move since the movie did that element so well.
The movie's interesting. I read an article saying that the villain, I suppose, or you know, one of the antagonists in the movie is actually correct because the thing that she tried to get them to do, as soon as they do it, there's a happy ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So it's like, you know what? Maybe she was right.
Well, you don't know if the thing has got to them in time, though. So you don't truly know if they lived or didn't live.
Not them, but she said we should. Fuck it, spoilers. Yeah. She said if we kill the boy, the mist will go away.
Yeah.
Then they kill the boy, and the mist immediately goes away. Well, so she might have been right the whole time.
No, it's hilarious. That's a movie where they change the ending dramatically, but when the author's like, you know what, that's a pretty awesome ending, I can't complain.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, if the characters wouldn't have lost hope, they would have been fine. And it was their failings that cost them their lives.
Or was it doing what the villain said to do? Like, you'll never know.
True.
Okay, well, so you said soft recommend on that. It's okay so far.
Yeah, it was entertaining enough. It got me wanting to see what's happening further in the season. They already had the episodes 2 and 3, I guess, that are available online. There's some other show that's happening right after that, too. The Shannara Chronicles?
That came out on that came out like a year and a half ago on MTV.
Oh, okay.
Season 1. I think they canceled before season 2. It's actually the Elfstone, which is book 2 of this, which is actually my favorite of all of his books.
Yeah, Sword of Shannara is just a rip-off of The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and Elfstone is a phenomenal story. But they did change the story mostly to be focusing on just like hot elf chicks, which isn't a terrible thing, but it's definitely not quite.
A new series.
No,
it's new on Spike.
New on Spike. Okay. And they do say that. They go new on Spike because it was a year and a half. Well, you can watch it on Netflix as well.
It's kind of like all the British shows that Hulu claims you can only watch on Hulu.
Yeah.
It's like, well, unless you're British.
Yeah.
Remember, whites only on Hulu.
All right. So
I will. Side note: speaking of endings and whatnot, because the 90 Clued and Nick mentioned the movie I recommended a couple weeks ago, which I'm guessing he's talking about the girl with all the gifts And I read a, I was reading a review of that, and somebody mentioned that they didn't like that the movie's pretty bleak, but then the ending subverts that by being a happy ending. And I'm like,
what?
This person doesn't understand the ending of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's a character that survives. They would have been happier dead.
Well,
but I think that the person who is the reviewer's like, what? Oh, look, they get to live. What a bullshit happy ending. And it's like, no.
Be like calling The Mist a happy ending.
Yes. It's like the reviewer saying The Mist is a happy ending because the dad lives. Like, it's correct. Like, the last scene even has that person weeping because they know that they're stuck in this terrible situation.
Yeah,
and it's like another review, and they're like, oh, they undercut their brutal ending with the blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're an idiot.
You're
a flat-out idiot.
All right. So I guess we'll call it there. Again, thanks to everyone listening and watching out there, and thanks to our Patreons. We're actually up to 8 folks now. Nine. Unfortunately, one got added in during the thing, so they're not including the credits, but they'll be in there next week.
During the broadcast?
During the broadcast.
Awesome. How exciting. If we get 3 more, we're Jesus.
Special call out there for Nick. Actually, yeah. Everyone's been pretty awesome. We will be setting up some type of prize eventually.
Yeah.
Some kind of,
so they get something.
Yeah, we just haven't really had anything set up just yet, but we'll get something out for you.
I can do, like, I know a lot of the people do Patreon send like really sexy photographs of themselves. Like, that's what Jessica Nagiri and Meg Turney do.
Mm-hmm.
So I could do like erotic lingerie photo shoots and send them Polaroids.
I honestly think that you and I, we should do a Band of the Bold.
Yeah.
With one other person. Like, I know that you and I could
would do it. It's literally his favorite thing ever in history of humanity is Band of the Bold.
Is it really Marshall's favorite thing?
Marshall loves Band of the Bold.
Does he hate it?
No, I'm not being sarcastic. Music someplace plays at our music, and I'll catch his eye across the store, and I'll just start doing this, and he'll do it back at me. Yeah, Marshall, unironically, this is not a joke, loves Band of the Bold.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think we should do a Patreon exclusive with us doing the Band of the Bold. I can edit that together. That would be times. I don't know where we'd film it.
You would get Jeremy would do it.
Jeremy
would do it.
No.
Jeremy has no shame. He'd do it.
It's true. He has no shame.
He has no shame. He'd have a porno mustache for a birthday party.
Can we merge our ideas, and can I do the Band of the Bold in sexy lingerie?
I don't care. That's
okay. Funny. Awesome. It's loving it.
All right. Yeah, and then we'll look into setting up for Twitch Prime or for Twitch subscriptions. We just haven't set that up yet.
I'm on Snapchat. They can follow us on Snapchat.
They could just follow you?
Yeah.
And then they could see all your nudes for 10 seconds.
I'm gonna do it. Is this how... Oh, shit. Is that... I thought cameras were supposed to face towards you. Is that what this button does? Ah! Fuck, what am
What's
I doing?
Happening?
I don't know. Okay, and
you are
Andy's
old.
Not on the Snapchat. Oh wait, cameras work like this. There we go.
There.
I'm going to send that out.
There you go.
Send to my story.
What?
I did it.
You could
Snapchatted.
Do that with Facebook too. That's
wait,
what the whole...
Snapchats go away immediately, so it's going to vanish from the world.
Yeah, we need to save that.
I Snapchatted it.
All right, good job. Technology in place.
Yeah. I can Instagram it.
Oh, boy.
You're on Instagram, too? What's wrong with you?
Raylene signed up for Instagram, and I couldn't let her be more tech-savvy than me, so I signed up for Instagram also, but then that was just a tie, so that's why I signed up for Snapchat.
Ugh.
But apparently Snapchat is just so people can send you dick pics.
Yeah.
But I'm a little offended. I have not received any penis since I got Snapchat.
Well, make sure you put your address over on the Patreon, and
hold
somebody
on.
Will... Yeah.
All right. Perfect.
Is it a hot dog?
I'm going to Instagram the soundboard. There we go.
I farted.
All right.
I'm gonna go.
Brian's going to keep farting.
I will Snapchat you a picture of a fart.
All right. Thanks, guys, for watching.
I fell apart.
Ooh, you're on Instagram. I'm sending it to you.